I'm a different guy. I do not like the status quo. I challenge tradition because typically tradition is driven by textbook thinking, and I can't stand that either, because the world cannot be formularized from a business point of view. Human emotions and human execution tendencies cannot be predicted. You got to live with these people, right? Hence, the most important people to me in business are frontline people to deal with customers day in and day out. And salespeople are included in that.
Hey, welcome to the Business of Sales. I'm your host, Morris Sims. I have over 35 years training sales professionals who are actually business owners. And now, hey, I'm focused on helping those business owners run their businesses more effectively and efficiently in today's very fast-paced, ever-changing world. So on this show, we're going to interview some great business leaders and give you practical ideas that you can use today. So, hey, stick with us, please. We've got great things coming out, and it's going to happen right now. Roy Osing is our guest today on the Business of Sales, and Roy has a neat series of books called Be Different or Be Dead, and I think that's pretty cool. In fact, that's his website as well, bedifferentorbedead.com, so check Roy out. Roy, thanks for being here. I'm going to let you tell your story because you can tell it a heck of a lot better than I can. How did you get to where you are today?
Well, you know, yeah, so basically what I'm doing today is kind of like it's a juxtaposition relative to what I've been doing the last 40 years is I'm an author, I'm a teacher, I'm a coach, a personal advisor, and which are really roles that extended from 40 years that I spent in business, basically learning the importance of being different, the importance of standing out and doing something truly amazing for the people you serve, relationships and so forth, and actually being able to learn simple things that allowed us to take a relatively new business to over $1 billion in sales. So people would say to me, oh, Roy, okay, you got some cool, you know, subjects like cut the crap and hiring for goosebumps, but really, you know, aren't you just kind of like playing on that for like sort of sensationalistic purposes? Because the world and narratives, as we know, Morris, is full of that. And I would always point to them and say, excuse me, I took a business to $1 billion in sales. That can't be any more powerful proof point that these things actually work. Simple things. And of course, there's no one simple one. There's a whole bunch of simple ones, right? And so I spent my life trying to figure out how to make an organization that was going through a metamorphosis. And this was back in the telecom days when, you know, monopolies were giving way to competitive worlds, where it occurred to me that we weren't ready. I had a job in that business, and I concluded that we weren't ready, concluded that we really had to figure out a way to change the way we do business to be more relevant, to be more marketing oriented rather than engineering oriented, to serve customers opposed to take orders, that whole thing, right? To try and figure out how to change the culture from a voice world to a data and internet world. And so this whole be different thing actually started to germinate during that process. And I landed on what I would describe as my story, which is breakaway. It's not pivot. I hate that word, by the way. Pivot is not a strong enough word, and it tends to be associated with a certain demographic, and I get why they would say that. But this was a breakaway thing for me, and I didn't realize it until I thought about it afterwards, right? Mm-hmm. Like breaking away from copying and benchmarking things to creating things, being contrarian rather than going with the flow, you know, executing and learning, not planning. I mean, I got a whole raft of sort of things here that are bookends from what I learned and what the traditional approach was. And so I just started practicing stuff more. So I was one of these guys that just did it, right? And asked for forgiveness, just did it, just do it. And you know, what I discovered is these simple things people related to and they love, and it lit fires in them. And guess what happened when they lit fires? They did things, and we executed on a plan brilliantly. And that eventually led to success from an organizational point of view and, you know, happily from a career point of view. So I'm a different guy. I do not like the status quo. I challenge tradition because typically tradition is driven by textbook thinking, and I can't stand that either, because the world cannot be formularized from a business point of view. Human emotions and human execution tendencies cannot be predicted. You got to live with these people, right? Hence, the most important people to me in business are frontline people to deal with customers day in and day out. And salespeople are included in that.
My friends, thank you again for listening to The Business of Sales. We appreciate you. Hey, a quick bit of news for you just to get started today. Our friend and mentor, Dr. Randy Marshall. Well, Randy has taught many of us in the world of sales over the years. He makes no apology for his faith and his Christianity. He is in Poland right now, helping with the refugees and providing aid to the Ukrainians. Randy has taught there for several years to help build leaders to plant churches in that country. Now he works to help get them medicine and clothes and food and, yeah, even bulletproof vests. So please pray for Randy and his mission and his safe travels on all his many trips back and forth. And if you're moved to help support this work, go to a website. It's tccp.pro. That's the Center for Church Planters. tccp.pro, P-R-O, and share your treasure to help a people who are truly in need of physical and spiritual support at this time. Carla and I have been blessed, and we've given to this organization because I know every penny is going to go to help a family in Ukraine and to spread the gospel. You know, our Lord taught us, as often as you've done this for one of my least brothers, you did it for me. Thank you for your support, and thank you so much for listening to The Business of Sales. Hey, let's get back to the show.
Love them. I mean, they're challenging, but I love them nevertheless. So sorry to carry on, but this whole, my whole journey leading to now is to learn stuff that works. I'm now at a point in my life where I really want to pass that on and help people avoid the unnecessary pitfalls and barriers that they run into by promulgating things that are espoused to them by experts who read a lot of books and write a lot of theoretical papers. Have I been pretty clear on that?
I think I got it, Roy. Yeah.
No, I think you're right on target, brother. And it's amazing what the whole idea of coming up with the simple things and living simply and letting it be easy. Susie Moore wrote a book called Let It Be Easy. And I absolutely love it. I'm going to find her and invite her to this podcast. It really does come back down to relationships and making things easy, which relationships are supposed to be. If we're giving and you know, coming to the relationship with something to bring to the table to help other people, how can it be anything but easy? And how can it be anything but fun? I mean, come on, man.
Well, one that leads me to I've been doing some writing on somebody asked me to do some specific writing on sales, saying like, specifically, Roy, what are the things that sales needs to do to be successful right away? I love questions like that because it just plays right into it. And the first thing, and it relates to what you just said, the first thing is you got to stop flogging products. Okay, there are way too many people out there who profess to be salespeople who do nothing but flog iron. They flog their wares. They flog inventory. And I got to tell you, it's repugnant. I call it, I've written a couple blog articles. People say, whoa, what are you getting onto? Because I say it's disgusting. It really is. It's exactly at the other end of the spectrum where people and salespeople need to be. And so that is going on. Now, listen, it is not all sales. It's a leadership issue as far as I'm concerned. Because guess what? We pay people to flog. Check out the compensation programs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, it's incredible. We do what we're taught to do, and we're taught to do it as salespeople by how we get paid. I mean, the old adage in the companies I've been with has always been, number one, know how you're compensated, and number two, refer to number one. And and everything was supposed to wrap around how you're compensated, because that's what the company wants you to do. If it wasn't, that's not the way they would pay you. Well, that's fine if you're selling widgets. But if you're selling services, or you're selling something that requires consultation with a professional, you can't do that like you sell widgets. I'm sorry, it didn't work.
Well, I mean, not only that, I mean, to me, it's alienating the person that you're trying to.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Right?
Totally.
It's absolutely ridiculous. We pay them to do it. And salespeople, more than any other profession, are motivated, in my experience, motivated more by the compensation plan than anybody else. They're motivated more than auditors are in terms of the comp plan, right? Because of the variable piece. Well, I figured that out long, long, long time ago. I changed the compensation plan for sales. Morris, what I did is introduce a relationship building piece based on behaviors. Okay, in the year one, and so just to expand that a little bit, you know, I said, we learned that there were like a half a dozen key behaviors that customers expected brilliant, dazzling salespeople to perform and exhibit day in and day out. So we said, fine, we're going to create a behavioral report card for sales. Right. And the people that actually fill it, it's going to be like a report card, poor, fair, average, good, or excellent. Yep. And we're going to ask customers once a quarter, I think it was once a quarter, to rate their salesperson on the basis of these behaviors. Well, let me tell you, sales was not happy when I did this, okay, to say the least. But we started it, and I changed the weighting of the comp plan. I said, okay, from here on in, 50% of your bonus are going to be based on selling units, because I can't turn that overnight. And 50% is going to be based on this behavioral report card. Well, let me tell you, Morris, the crying and screaming and kicking and everything else that came out of my sales team was unbelievable. I said, okay, go to your caves, think about it, figure it out, go do your job. Okay, so they started doing their job. Well, let me tell you, after a year, year and a half, they were spending more time trying to understand why they got rated a certain way than they were bitching about it. And so it began. The cultural change began. And so I would do crazy things like we would hold, you know, sales relationship builder of the month, all that crazy stuff that sales loves to do, build it not around who sold the most units, but who got the highest report card remarks from their customers. And it started to change. Now, some salespeople didn't like that. They didn't want to live in that world. I said, fine, go. This is not the world for you.
Yeah.
But others wanted to. They wanted to learn it. And so that's what the typical way that I would approach this is just take a new piece of paper, come up with something that's simpler that relates to strategy, because our whole thing was in those days, we better start building strong relationships as opposed to taking orders if we're going to survive this change from monopoly to competition. And so I just tried to knock down like that, come up with something else that was juxtaposed to that, different than that, and just start implementing it. And the pushback, I mean, even the pushback from my colleagues at times got, you know, a little dicey, because it was so new and so simple, but so logical, because nobody could ever say to me that it didn't make sense. Right.
Last time I checked, absolutely. It's amazing. In the world I grew up in selling life insurance, we are notorious as an industry for not being able to retain our salespeople. And we've talked about for years and years and years, what do we do to retain? What do we do to increase retention? What do we do to increase retention? How is this going to impact all of that kind of stuff? But never did we change the compensation plan to be based on literally directly. I mean, indirectly it always is, but to directly be based on retention. And I always thought, man, we're missing the boat somewhere. And I think you're right, Roy. It's really very simple. What do you want? Well, that's what we need to compensate people based on, is what we want them to do all day long. Come on.
Well, I mean, the breakthrough thinking here, and it really, it's simple, is it's not production based, like getting a sale. It's behavioral based in terms of how they act. Okay, because how you act towards somebody makes that other person feel a certain way. This is not rocket science, right? Then the question becomes, well, how are you going to rate them? That was easy. Get the customer to rate them. Now, that, I'll tell you, that did a couple of things. First of all, it built relationships with customers, right? Pretty easy.
You better, yeah.
They loved being asked to participate in my business.
Oh, yeah.
I said, I need your perspective, and I don't want you sugarcoating stuff, right? I mean, if the guy's a horrible person, you need to say that because I need to know that, right? If they're brilliant, you tell me that too.
Hey, y'all, hang on for just a second. I got something I just got to tell you. I'm giving away some free stuff, all right? Free stuff. I've got a copy in there of my ebook, Practical Influence, with ideas to help you improve your influence with other people. I've got some great marketing and prospecting ideas that are on an audio file, so you can listen to it while you work out or drive or whenever you'd like to. And we've also got some stuff in there on planning for 2022 to help you make 2022 your best year ever. Just go to morrissims.com/free stuff. That's morrissims.com/free stuff and get your free stuff. It's just that easy. All right, now back to the show.
Because I'm going to learn this as a coaching and development tool for salespeople and sales managers. By the way, I mean, a lot of my managers left because they couldn't handle that kind of culture their salespeople. They just couldn't do it. I mean, but the rewards, I mean, after a bit, were incredibly gratifying. And I got to tell you, I mean, that's the sort of stuff that made me get up every day and just go into it. Just go into it, because high tolerance for pain. By the way, that's when I discovered that pain is indeed a strategic concept.
Tell me more about that, Roy.
That's true. It's absolutely true, right? If you can't look at this whole thing in my head is related to, I have a strategy which is useless unless I can execute it. So my whole life is spent on, what are the little things that I can do?
Hey, I got a question for you. What's your favorite destination for a few relaxing days to unwind and recharge your batteries, or your favorite place to take the family for some big fun? Find that picture in your mind. Go on, do it now. Have you got it? Well, now think about all the planning and the booking and the flights and the reservations and all the rest of those other pesky details that you have to go through just to get to that beautiful picture in your mind. Now, what if somebody took all those details and made it easy? Make it easy for you to get there and do what you want to do. Well, that's what our friends at Small World Big Fun can do for you. They make travel easy. All you got to do is show up and have fun. The great people at Small World Big Fun are going to handle all the details that you want them to handle. You want to go to Disney? Hey, they know all the secrets. River cruises in Europe, Cancun beach trips, Belize maybe, cruise Alaska, or cruise anywhere. You name it, and Small World Big Fun can plan it and make it happen for you. Really, I've been using Small World Big Fun for years, and frankly, so has the rest of our family. We just show up and have fun. Cindy Miner and her 42 other great agents are going to make it easy on you to show up and enjoy life. So go to smallworldbigfun.com or call Small World at 501-831-5211. That's 501-831-5211. Call them now and get started planning for your next trip to that absolutely beautiful picture that you saw back when this conversation began. You know, I can see it now. The white sandy beaches of the Redneck Riviera all along the Gulf of Mexico, and it's calling me. Golly gee, can you hear the waves? Yeah, I can smell the ruby red Gulf shrimp on the grill. Redfish fresh from the boat for dinner and, oh. Hey, Carla, bring me a drink, would you? And adjust the umbrella, the sun's in my eyes again.
Well, one of the concepts, okay, of execution is you need somebody that's relentless. You need people that are driven. You need people that have a high pain tolerance, because in that world, that's what I mean by pain. In that world, you're constantly getting knocked about. You're constantly getting disappointed. You're failing, right? All of those things, let's not deny them. They're real things that happen. Let's not try to assign a formula to negate them. Let's accept them, embrace them, but take the power and use the power to move on in terms of execution. So that's why I say pain is a strategic concept. I want people in my organization that absorb the pain. They don't like it, but they're able to use it. They use it to embrace the energy and actually push them forward. And I got to tell you, I mean, I talk a lot about audacious leadership in my new book, which, by the way, is out May the 31st. Ah. The timing of this podcast is awesome, Moore. So give me some help in there. This book is going to do really, really well. This is my seventh. But I talk a lot about audacious leadership. And one of the biggest things people say, well, what does it take to be an audacious leader, whether sales or marketing or CEO, whatever? It's the ability to, in spite of what's in front of you, push through it. And if that isn't painful at times, I don't know what is. Ergo, pain is indeed a strategic, be different or be dead concept.
Persistence and determination. Last time I checked, that's really what's all going to make the difference. Roy, I can't help it. I have to ask you, I think you and I are probably on the same page, but what do you think about all this mindfulness stuff and the idea of the secret? And boy, if you just sit back and think about it, you're going to have $1 million in your bank account kind of stuff.
Well, you know, nothing happens in the mind, okay? It all happens in your heart, in the fire inside your gut. And if you can't execute a good idea in your mind, then the idea is worthless, is the whole point. And there's far too much time or being spent on trying to make the plan or the idea pristine and perfect, according to somebody's definition of what perfection is. You and I both know perfection doesn't exist. And in fact, I've made a very successful living out of executing imperfection perfectly. That's what I do. Okay.
I love it.
I came up with this concept. I had to create my own strategic planning process, by the way, because the ones that were being sold to me spent way too much time on the front end, i.e. what the plan should be, and not much time on the back end. So I created this three-step planning process, which I call a strategic game plan. It's called a game plan because in games, you execute. Nothing happens unless you execute, right? So I thought, well, I'll call it a strategic game plan. It's created by answering three simple questions. And by the way, I do this with clients in 2 days. We have an awesome plan executed on the third day. Boom, right? Other consultants don't like it because it's so quick and it's so easy and people love to do it. First question, how big do you want to be? And by the way, all this is in my books, right? Under strategic game plan. How big do you want to be? That's a question about what are your growth targets? And I start out with that because the nature of the answer to that question drives the character and risk profile of your strategy. You see, most strategies are created the opposite way. They create the strategy based on a whole bunch of stuff like SWOTs and ROTs, competitive analysis, blah, 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 blah. And then they come up with the economic consequences of that. And the CEO or the CFO takes a look at the number, Morris, and they go, don't like the number. Not good enough. Go back and change it. So what do? They go back and change the assumptions.
Yeah.
So in other words, they don't change the strategy because the numbers have been changed. So I said, let's get the kids off the street. We're starting with the number. Do you want to grow your top line revenue? And by the way, it's top line. It's never net income, never EBITDA, because I can change those numbers in a heartbeat because I know how to engineer an income statement. But top line revenue is the absolute expression of how the market and customers feel about you. They express that by buying, and that's top line. So the question of how big, Morris, is if you're sitting at 10 million annually today, say, where do you want to be in 24 months? Five-year plans in my world don't exist. It's a 24-month plan, right? Where do you want to be in 24 months? Do you want to double it? Do you want to triple it? Do you want to go up? Depending on the answer to that drives the aggressiveness and characteristics of your strategy, because an incremental growth target gives you an incremental strategy. A bold one, an audacious one, gives you a completely different profile. So that's fun. Oh man, that's fun trying to get people to agree on, well, we're at 50 million now. I think we should be at 100 million. And the CFO just goes, So anyways, we get through that. The next question is, who do you want to serve? Who do you want to serve says, where are you going to get the money? Right? What customer groups have the latent potential to give you your how big? And that's a wonderful conversation. Trying to minimize the numbers of customers. If you can minimize the numbers, then your cost of sales clearly is lower and your margins go up. So that's what's going on there. The third question is where I find we are woefully inadequate in the world of business. And that is the answer to the question, how are you going to compete and win? Given the customers you've chosen to serve and the competitors that are in that space, how are you going to win? Now, this leads me to probably the biggest rant that I give in my whole shtick around here, because I believe that notwithstanding the fact that we have more competition today than ever, businesses are woefully inadequate of expressing the answer to the question, why should I buy from you and not your competition? In other words, declaring what their competitive advantage is something that, generally speaking, organizations today do a terrible job at. Let me explain why, if you would allow me to.
Please.
Think about all of the competitive claims that you've seen out there, and just think about the words that are used in them. Because I've done an awful lot of work in this regard. And the first thing that you notice is that what I call claptrap dominates. What do I mean by claptrap? I mean the use of expressions like better, best, number one, leader, premium, most compelling, great tasting. All of those adjectival expressions that are somehow supposed to describe the unique place in the market that you occupy. Let me give you an example. Okay, this particular coffee company, quote, offers the best coffee and espresso drinks for consumers who want premium ingredients and perfection every time. And another company says, we work hard every day to make ourselves the most respected service brand. Now, I give you that those are kind of interesting expressions of where the company thinks they are, but they do nothing to clarify in the consumer's mind why I should buy from them relative to the other choices I have. The other thing you find is aspirations contaminate the whole process, right? So this is where you get helium-filled claims at 10,000 feet. Cannot be measured, Morris, can't be measured. You can hold nobody accountable for this stuff either. And that's why I think they're there. You can't hold them accountable. We are in business to save our home planet, says a very famous supplier of merchandise. Our advantage is to inspire humanity, both in the air and on the ground, says another airline company. And so, again, more of these platitudes, blah, 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 blah. So the problem we have in how to answer the how to win question is that today, most companies haven't a clue what they're special at. And even if they did, they express it in a way that, oh man, that makes you feel good somehow, or makes them feel good. And it's totally ineffective. So Roy, if that's a statement of the problem, what's the statement of the solution? Glad you asked. Okay. So this whole genesis of be different or be
dead. I'm just gonna sit here, Roy. You're doing fine. Keep asking yourself questions.
I gotta get this out.
Yeah, no, you're
you just got me going on it.
I love it. Keep going.
The whole genesis of my work on competitive differentiation, and I actually created this myself because of what I just described. Claptrap aspirations were never going to work for me going into a new data world, where I had to change the culture, get a new customer set, change from engineering to marketing, change from order takers to customer service. So I came up with this notion, which I call the only statement, as the way to express your competitive advantage. Now, the only statement goes like this: we are the only ones that, boom, 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 and you got to fill that in, right? So what it is it's, the cool thing about it is it's binary. It either exists or it doesn't. It doesn't contain adjectival, aspirational words. It's we're the only ones that, right? And so when you can actually create an expression around that, that becomes your competitive claim. So the answer to the question, how am I going to compete and win, becomes we're going to compete and win by being the only ones that. Now, let me give you an two examples of only statements, okay? And this is kind of a cool one because I'm working with an association in Vancouver called the North Delta Business Association. And it's a startup association, right? So trying to, you know, get going and get customers. So we came up with this only statement. It says, the North Delta Business Association is the only team, the word team was chosen very, very carefully, that one, links you to other businesses, two, connects you with experienced and knowledgeable people to help you grow and lead and grow your business, and three, constantly challenges you to do different things.
Our sponsor this week is Mindy Audlin, and she has a question for you. Do you ask yourself what if questions? And when you do, are you asking worst case questions? You know, what if the sky falls kind of things? That's called what if down. But what if it all goes right? That's what if up. Mindy Audlin's new book, I got to tell you, I couldn't put it down. You'll want your own copy. It's called What If It All Goes Right. It's on Amazon in paperback, Audible, and Kindle versions. But here's the bonus. What if upping is so much fun that there's a club? You can find resources and more at the nonprofit What If Up Club at whatif.org. That's whatif.org. Pretty easy, right? So please support our sponsor. You can find Mindy Audlin at whatif.org. I am a card-carrying member of the What If Up Club. Oh, and by the way, the music you hear in the background, well, that's Amy Scruggs singing her new release titled, you guessed it, What If It All Goes Right?
Chase your dream and changes your home.
Now, that statement says nothing about your aspirations to lead the world in terms of biometrics. It says nothing about what you're trying to do to create humanitarian cause within North Delta. All right? What it does is say, this is what we do that nobody else does, and this is why you should join our association. And so... So the game planning process ends with that piece of work, and it's extremely powerful. I mean, it takes a while. I've had people say to me, Roy, I don't think we're special at anything. I don't think we're only at anything. And I'm saying, well, let's look at this a little further, because it's not, sometimes it's not obvious, right? And by the way, it's never about, shouldn't be about technology. Technology enables value. I want to talk about the value. I don't want to talk about technology. Don't care about the sexy gee-whiz hyper bits and all that kind of stuff, right? To me, that's basic core stuff that everybody provides. I want to know how you're going to use it, you know, in a way that excites people and answers the question, why are you so special that I should give you my money? That's where I want to go. And so with that sort of process, we began building a startup over a number of years with other crazy concepts to actually, and I got to tell you, I'm serious. I get goosebumps every time I think of this. We actually built this business to generate, I'm doing it again, $1 billion worth of revenue on an annual basis. We actually did it, Morris. We did it. It was amazing.
It is amazing. That's an incredible happening. Yeah. Not many people can say that, Roy. That's a wonderful thing.
Well, I love your only statement. I got to go back to that for a moment. I really do. I absolutely love that. We are the only ones who do this, that, and the other. Those statements, I would think you don't want 10 of them, but maybe 3 would be a good number, and you want those to be measurable, right?
Yeah, you only want one. And here's why. You want one for the corporation. There may be derivatives, okay, for internal reasons, but if I'm a salesperson, and somebody says to me, why should I buy you? Boom. Guess what comes out?
Mm-hmm.
The only statement. That's why you should come. Now, we do some further work, which I call unpacking the only. Everybody's got to have this You got to use the word unpacking, I've decided. So I've decided to do it. So you take
a good word.
It is. I like it.
That's a good word. That's a good word. Okay.
So you take the only statement and you unpack each statement. Like in the one that I just gave you, for example, the one that says we're the only ones that constantly challenges you to do things differently, to do different things. We unpack that to say, what do we mean by that? Well, we mean every product, every seminar, every piece of content that we offer our members is going to be based on doing things differently. It's going to try and lead you that way. So if I'm a salesperson, not that we're going to have salespeople in this association, that's what I'm going to be selling. I'm going to be saying we're the only ones that are going to challenge your butt to be different. We're never going to let you be the same as the guy down the street. You can count on us. We're going to be your conscience. I'm going to be in your face all the time. If I see an ad or hear an ad or see a social media post that ever uses the word better, I'm calling you on it. Is that okay? And you go, well, yeah, okay. But that, so by the way, huge piece of work. And just imagine the teamwork and the bonding that goes on when you get a group of people together unpacking this stuff. It's magic, Morris. I tell you, it's magic. It just works. And they walk out of this room going, okay, I got that. Send me up the hill. Just send me up the hill. I'm not taking any prisoners.
I love it. That's absolutely wonderful. And I'm thinking about those salespeople out there that there may be 100 salespeople or thousands of salespeople selling the same product for the same company. But as an individual, you're running your own business, essentially. You have things that you can put into an only statement about how you deal with your clientele, how you deal with the public, how you provide and bring value to the table. Roy, that in and of itself was a wonderful concept. Thank you very much.
It's absolutely true. As individuals, we should have our own only statement. I have mine. Would you like to hear mine?
I would love to.
Okay. Thank you. Roy Osing is the only author, entrepreneur, and executive leader who delivers practical and proven audacious, unheard of ways to produce high performing businesses and successful careers. And so when I unpack that, the audacious, unheard of ways, Morris, relates to the simple things like strategic game planning, like hiring for goosebumps, like killing dumb rules, right? Like line of sight leadership, all those things that I created. What I've done is I branded them. That's what I mean by audacious, unheard of ways. And I'm the only one out there talking about this stuff. Only one. So that's it. I get referred because of that, because nobody, it's a big void out there on this side. It really is, unfortunately, because it just more and more people should be dabbling. So you're absolutely right. All you salespeople out there, and I've challenged sales on this, do not ever tell me ever that you're not special at something, that you're not an only at something, because you are. You just need to spend time with it. You just need to think it's important. You just need to make it a number one priority as opposed to anything else. And if you want some help, I'm at gmail.com. Easy peasy.
Absolutely. Roy.osing, O-S-I-N-G, at gmail.com. Be different or be dead. Roy, this has been an absolute blast. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us on the Business of Sales.
Hey, listen, I thank you, Morris, because I'm grateful to have an opportunity to actually talk about my world and my journey to your audience. My only hope is somebody goes, wow, that was kind of cool. I'm going to go check that out. And they actually do something about it, you know, because at the end of the day, we're all trying to make it a better place. Oh, I used the word better. We're all trying to make it an only place. I'm going to use that. I've never thought of that before. So thank you for giving that to me.
Anytime. If you need anything else, Joy, just let me know.
And I'd love to do it again, because there's lots more to talk about.
Oh, absolutely. Me too. If you would come back, we would love to have you.
In a heartbeat.
Very good. Outstanding. Roy Osing, roy.osing@gmail.com. drop him an email, let him know what's going on with you and what you are only at. What are you only at? What is your only? It'll make all the difference in the world. And in the meantime, between now and next time we get together, I'm Morris Sims, and just looking forward to seeing you again. Go out there and make it a great week. See two more people than you did last week. Have a good time. We'll see you again next week right here on the Business of Sales.